Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather. We thank you for your precious word, Lord, and lead us now as we look at another psalm this morning, Lord, and may your will be done. And Lord, Bob's mom, Norma, fell and broke her hip, you know that, and asking for prayer. So we just pray that you would strengthen and comfort and whatever the medical procedure has to be. Lord, you know all of that, so we lift her up. Pray for Bob in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're going to be in Psalm 12. How many of you think things are really much worse today than they were a few years ago? How many of you think that this is really startlingly new and different? We'll see today David's thought the same thing 3,000 years ago. And it is true, I think we're at the end times, but man always has had the characteristic, I believe, of being more concerned about the stuff ahead of us that's right now than what's happened in the past. Because what's happened in the past, we tend to forget, fortunately, most of the bad stuff. We remember a lot of the good stuff, and we remember the good old days, right? Many times the good old days weren't as good as today days, right? But we think of them as good old days. And here's David, and he has this psalm, and he's talking about man's treachery and God being constantly good. And so this fits every generation, always has, always will, until we're out of these bodies and into glory, I believe. So just reading through this, it's a short psalm, only 8 verses. We'll read it through, and then we'll take a look a little bit, not too great, but a little bit. To the chief musician on an 8-stringed harp, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. 3,000 years ago, the godly man ceases. That's what the thought was. For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. So in this little psalm, we see 3 voices here. We see the voice of the psalmist David. Then we see the voices of the wicked. And then we see the voice of the Lord. And then back to the psalmist again. And so David is very concerned about the ungodly. And most people think it was probably earlier on in his lifetime when he was being pursued by Saul. And I happen to think it really probably would fit Doeg the Edomite. You remember Doeg the, or Doeg, D-O-E-G, however you pronounce it. I call him Dog because he's a dog. But anyway, Doeg the Edomite was handling Saul's livestock and stuff, and he was always trying to earn favor with Saul. And so when David started to flee for his life, and he didn't have any food, he didn't have anything, he stopped by Ahimelech and got the sword from him, the sword that David had gotten from killing Goliath. And then he ate some of the showbread, and which, you know, later was said, you know, they weren't supposed to do that, but he did it, and that was an example there. And while he was there, Doeg saw him there. So Doeg goes back and tells Saul, and he really misrepresents the situation, because he said that Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for him, which he may have, but then it says, and he gave him a sword, and he gave him food. And it's like he's helping David with all this. And Ahimelech didn't know anything about it because David didn't tell him the truth. David told him that he was on this mission for the king and he was by himself. And so here's Ahimelech trying to help David. And Saul gets mad then and he kills 85 of the priests, Ahimelech and 85 priests. And he wipes out the whole city of Nob, where the priests, it was a priestly city. And it says he killed the men, the women, the children, and the livestock. So the guy goes crazy, you know, but how sad that is. And then David later says how distraught he was because he had caused the death of all these priests. And he, you know, was looking at that. So this would kind of fit this here to me about Doeg being such an ungodly man. But this also fits anytime you hear trash talking among our athletes today, or trash talking about our president. On any time you turn on any of the news things, really, and you read what people are saying, and I mean the four-letter words and all that stuff today are just so degrading and so disappointing, we would think. But David starts out here saying, help, or that word could be translated save, help, Lord. Now that is an excellent psalm if we stop there. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. We could pray that over and over, hour by hour, day by day. There's always a reason to cry for help from the Lord. So he says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. Don't you think at times there's just no godly people left anymore? Oh, I wish we were back to the good old days when everybody was believing in the Lord. And I think that's a misrepresentation. I don't think there's ever been a time when everybody believed in the Lord, but at any rate, it seems like it sometimes. And he's saying, help for the godly man ceases, or intervene, Lord, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. Where are the faithful ones? They've disappeared from the sons of men. They speak idly or destructively, everyone with his neighbor. Well, that seems to fit, doesn't it? With flattering lips and a double heart, they speak. It's heart within a heart, double heart. Double-hearted, double-mindedness God hates. Flattering lips, he hates. Beware of flattering lips, because it's always, because of your pride, you're always tempted to share things with somebody who flatters you that you wouldn't share with them if they were criticizing you, because you'd be, you know, or if they were giving you trouble, because you'd be upset with them. But when they flatter you, you know, now you're feeling pretty proud, you know. You think about Hezekiah, such a great king, did everything so well. But when he got the 15 years extra life and the Babylonian envoy came brought gifts to him and congratulated him, what did he do? He showed him everything, all of Israel's defenses, all of their treasures. And Isaiah said, who are these people? Where did they come from? What did you show them? I showed them everything. And what was his comment? One day, all that you showed them will be theirs. And it was. They took it all. But we see here flattering lips. Beware of flattering lips. But these people speak with flattering lips, always buttering things up. A double heart. They probably are really upset. It's kind of like saying, long live the king. You'd like to shoot the king, but you're saying, long live the king, right? I mean, that's not quite what this is, but it's a double heart, right? Verse 3, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks. And so now here we are continuing to talk about the wicked. Cut off all the flattering lips, the tongue that speaks proud things. Proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. So the wicked are saying, I can say whatever I want. I'm going to talk my way out of anything. My lips are my own. I can use them however I want. Who is Lord over me? Who is Lord over us? Total disregard for any accountability to the Lord, right? So they say what they want, saying, our lips are my own. I can live any old way I want. Who is Lord over me? Now we have the Lord interrupting in verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. For these two things, the Lord says that he will do two things. One, I will arise, says the Lord, and I will set him in safety for which he yearns. The Lord hears the sigh of the needy. A father will also hear the sighs of his children, right? I mean, you know your children well enough, you just hear a sigh from them and it touches your heart. So the Lord is touched here by the oppression of the poor and by the sighing of the needy. The Lord cares about the poor. We know we'll have the poor with us always, but he cares about them, particularly the oppression, which means they're being taken advantage of because of their low status. Sighing of the needy. He says, I will arise, I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. Now we have a great contrast here in the next two verses with the worthless words of men. We will contrast the obvious, awesome God, words of, of our Lord or of God. Verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure word. Now, you know, just a couple of Psalms more. In Psalm 19, we have what the commandment of the Lord is pure. In fact, I'll just read all of that description of the word of the Lord here in Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So that's along the same lines we have here in verse 6 of Psalm 12. The words of the Lord are pure, and then they identify the purity like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. In that day, the most pure silver or gold you could get would be silver or gold that had been brought to melt seven times. You know, every time they would bring it to melt, they'd scoop off the dross, and then they would heat it up again, scoop off more dross, and after seven times, it was really pure. And so this is what the word of the Lord is being compared to. It's like silver tried in a furnace of earth seven times. That also can mean tested. It's tested seven times, tried or tested. And the word is like that. It's perfectly pure. It's been tested and tried since day one. The Bible has been under attack always and always will be, but it's pure. And then the statement, you shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. So the ones who are walking with the Lord, the promise that the psalmist is saying there, that the Lord will keep them and the Lord will preserve them from this generation forever. Isn't that true? As a believer, you will be kept and protected from this generation forever. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Forever? Awesome. Then he closes back again, turning back to the situation. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. So God will keep us. God will protect us. We need to stay close to him and be in his word. He will keep us. He will preserve us, even though there's evil all around us. Now we know from the New Testament that in the last days, the wickedness will grow more and more. And we see that happening as well. But since Cain killed Abel, the first two men born we have on the record from Adam and Eve, one killed the other. I mean, it hasn't always been great. Since the fall of Adam, sin's entered the world and death through sin, right? So we've always had the wicked, and always will have the wicked. That's part of it. But God's word and God himself is always pure and righteous, and we need to keep looking to him, and we need to cry out, help, Lord, help, Lord. So as you go through today, don't be hesitant to cry out, help. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the instructive presentation in your word. We thank you for the depth of emotion in these psalms, and we can just see the psalmist's heart being stretched here and there and grieving on one hand and exalting in you on the other hand. and help us to be equally excited about you and about your word, Lord. And as we cry out to you this morning, help, Lord, in form of prayer. May we pray now as led by your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that it would be well with more and more and more and more souls because they would be yours, trusting in you, being blessed by you and committed to you. So, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for meeting us here this morning. Bless each one who came, and may we be crying out to you, help, Lord, help, as we go through this day. And thank you for hearing our cry, hearing our sighs, in Jesus' name. Amen.